Hopefully you are comfortable, but we are glad to have you here. I'm sure we'll have some folks slipping in here in just a little bit. Again, good to have family and friends, and of those getting baptized tonight, we'll say a little bit more about that. We are thrilled to have five over here. Five probably a little bit nervous folks. All right, now that this is getting a reality there, you may hear their hearts beating, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. All right, but that's pretty normal. Many of you can think back to when you were baptized. Oh, that can be a little intimidating when you start getting here and thinking you're going to stand in front of folks. But you know what? We praise the Lord that following the Lord in believers' baptism is an important step of obedience, and we are thrilled that these five are going to take that step tonight. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do announcements, and then we'll have a word of prayer. And if you looked in your bulletin there, then you'll see me slip out here briefly as you sing the first hymn. And then somewhere toward the end of that, I'll come in here, get in the baptism pool, I'll say a few words. And then we've got a predetermined order here, and they'll come up. Each one will come up to the microphone, share their testimony. And then they will then be baptized one at a time there. So I trust it'll be an encouragement and a blessing to you. And then after the service, they'll, of course, slip out, dry off a little bit, change. They'll come back in. At the end of the service, we typically will have them up at the front. Their families are welcome to come up as well. And that'll allow you to come up and congratulate them and encourage them in the Lord. So sort of keep that in mind here tonight. Glad to have you here tonight. Always a special occasion for a church. To see folks not only saved, but then follow that in baptism, take that next step. And we'll be talking about that a little bit tonight in the message about the next step perhaps the Lord would have you and I to take. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Stay standing then for our opening hymn. Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, it's exciting. It should be exciting for any local church to be able to follow, Lord, what you have given us in the scriptures. Lord, where you commanded before you ascended to heaven that we are to proclaim the gospel, to preach the gospel, to herald the good news, the scriptures, and Lord, those that believe and trust in you, then to be baptized, follow you, Lord, in that public identification, Lord, in obedience of identifying with you and your finished work on the cross, and then, Lord, to take that next steps, Lord, to be part of a church, to grow in Christ, to be taught the things of God, Lord, to be able to perhaps join, get involved, serve, and minister, and then, Lord, even to teach others also that can take our place one day. Lord, we're so thankful for these five. I realize, Lord, there'll be some nervousness, Lord, and maybe a little bit of fear. Lord, sometimes that's a good thing, Lord, to know that there's no way that we can do this in our own power and our own strength. We need your help, Lord, and I pray you'd give each of these, Lord, just a peace that will come over them. Give them the words to say as they share their testimony of how they come to know you, Lord. And I pray this would encourage folks in the Lord. Some may be not able to be here tonight, Lord. Some of our shut-ins and others, Lord, maybe out of town, could be watching and could be encouraged in the Lord. And Lord, there may be some in our midst or watching that need to take this same step. And because of tonight, Lord, it could be that they decide to follow you in baptism of their own one day. Lord, we ask that all that's done tonight would glorify you, Lord. May you be praised. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, stay standing as Charlie comes.
Hymn number five, Oh for a Thousand Tongues. Hymn number five. Let's sing that last verse a cappella. I really love a cappella. And to buy a little time, let's sing it a cappella, all right?
He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me.
Be seated.
Just again, we have a lot of folks here. I don't know who's watching from home perhaps, but I want to understand that the biblical order is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, after salvation, baptism, trusting the Lord in baptism. Again, the word in the New Testament is always to immerse, to go under, identifying with Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. All right, after that then would be obviously discipleship, growing in the Lord, church, and all of that. So I want to make sure we understand tonight, we don't hold baptism as any form of a sacrament. We don't believe in any way that baptism has anything to do with salvation, taking away sins, finding favor with God outside of Jesus Christ, but it's a step of obedience after one is saved and identifying publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you may be part of their family. You may know that they received Christ as Savior. You may have been with them in church, at the room, in the house, in the car. But if they decided not to share that with anybody, no one else would know. And so really, baptism is them now publicly identifying with Jesus Christ, sharing their testimony of how they came to know Christ, and then publicly identifying with what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, his finished work, and taking that step of obedience as the Lord commanded. And so that's an important step, and we're grateful for that. So without any more further ado from me, we'll go ahead and begin, I believe, with Brad tonight.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Well, I guess I'll just get right into it. You know, I don't want to keep you for too long. So for me, there's not really much to say about, like, before I was saved. Like, I grew up in a home that didn't have, like, any sort of religious upbringing. You can't really say that not eating meat on Lent was about the most religious thing that ever happened. So, and, like, there wasn't, like, we never read the Bible or anything. So there was just, you could say it was ungodly in itself. And it wasn't until that I had actually enlisted in the National Guard and that I had arrived at my unit that I had actually met Bob Risner down there. And he had given me a talk about religion and what I believed in. And I had told him that I didn't believe in anything. And at that point, he began to pique my interest, you know, as he would always say, plant the seed. And so at a further along, I decided that I wanted to know what the word really was, and so I had purchased myself a Bible, and I had begun to read. I had started with John, and then I learned what Jesus had done on the cross, and it was very touching to me, and I had a lot of questions, and to which I had actually brought to Bob, and he had answered all of them, and it was at this point that he had suggested that I start going to and visiting the church here with him and his family. And I graciously accepted. I'm actually very grateful for that. And I had also begun to start studying Romans as well. And that one was very difficult. And just learning more about, like, the truth and it, like, around that point, I, like, getting a really good grasp on what salvation really meant. And I had realized that for a large portion of my life, I'd been purposefully denying myself that I had been trying to say that I wasn't good enough to be saved. And it was another reason that I had purposely turned myself away from the thought of any religion up until I was introduced to it. And so when I had realized that this was the way I had felt, I had confided in Bob about this. And in response, he told me, he referenced, in, I believe, John 8, about the adulterer who was about to be stoned. And in John 8:11, Jesus tells her, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more," to which that really struck with me, because he was accepting someone who was a sinner like myself, and that the only thing to do now is to move forward. And that actually, that very night, I had allowed myself to be saved.
All right, praise the Lord for that testimony. Praise the Lord for God using Bob and others. Glad Brad has trusted Christ as Savior. Come on here in just a little bit. All right, it's my privilege as the pastor of this local assembly, as your brother in Christ, to obey the Lord's commands to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. All right, amen, amen. Ms. Taylor.
Taylor. I'm 18 years old, and I'm from Forest City, Pennsylvania. I'm the middle child of six. I attend Carbondale Area High School as a senior and will be attending Keystone College in the fall for my bachelor's degree in business. I've been attending church here at IBC since March of 2022. I was raised in a strictly Roman Catholic household, and I was baptized shortly after my arrival as a Roman Catholic. I attended catechism classes each Sunday, played piano in the choir, and I received all of the sacraments required of me. My great-grandmother was a Eucharistic minister in the Catholic Church, so it felt I had huge shoes to fill as a little girl. But shortly after my first Holy Communion, my family had plans of moving. We moved to Carbondale, not far, but due to this, we stopped attending Catholic Church on Sundays and holidays. My parents got divorced shortly after this move, and that was a complete hiatus of church. I didn't mind not attending church. I gained another day to enjoy my weekend. My family is entirely worldly, so church wasn't enforced. At age 13, I began to find other ways to live a spiritual life. I'd moved 9 times that year, in and out of homes, and I thought I'd found ways to heal my anger and sadness with something new and divine. Looking to the church and looking to God reminded me of a time where each day was dark and disturbing, a time where my family was falling apart. I had the wrong image of God. I had never known a loving church. I never knew God's love, and due to this, I began to gamble with spells. All the rage in school was something darker from what I thought that God was. I looked to New Age spirituality and witchcraft, and I believed that the universe would grant me my wishes and desires, and the crystals I'd meditate with would calm my spirit. I believed in auras and yoga, potions and goddesses, tarot cards and vibrations, and a variety of other things that were what I believed as my spiritual healing methods. What was so appealing were the colors, the tapestries, the chakras, and the supposed energies of these people I met. I followed New Age spirituality from the ages of 13 to 16. I attended sessions of vibration healing ceremonies, tarot readings, Reiki sessions, tribal dances, and overall living worldly outside of these sessions. I was looking in the complete opposite direction of where I was supposed to be seeking the answers, and my Roman Catholic family accepted my new spiritual path. Yes, my Roman Catholic family accepted my new spiritual beliefs of following witchcraft and New Age spirituality. Later on, I met John, who attends church here on April 6, 2021, while I was working as a newly employed busgirl at restaurant Little Nicky's at the Ben Mar in Carbondale. He was quiet at first, but came around and complimented me often. And after that, I never stopped following him around. I remember always telling him his aura felt violet some days and that I needed him in my life. It seems I really did need him in my life, and the Lord is so powerful, not even my spells could hold him, and I was about to be stunned with the most important information of my entire life. John and I began talking on a spiritual level outside of work in December of 2021. He bought me a Bible, and he explained the love of God and the very basics. I've never heard the phrase saved until that night we spoke. I never heard a message, and I knew nothing about a loving church or a loving God until that night we spoke. I never opened a Bible either. But I knew a part of one verse, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ironic, isn't it? I was saved a month later in February of 2022. It was the first time I'd ever cried out to the Lord out of pure desire. It was the first time I felt a weight lifted off of my chest, and it was so touching, I remember I called John crying afterwards. At that moment, I knew the truth. I still feel to this day that the Lord led me to John to lead me to where I am today. Because of him, I've met a loving church family, I know a loving God, and I'm loved by his family like I am their own. And I'm so blessed to have each of them to help guide me and support me. I always recite a part of Ruth 1:16 to him. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. This testimony could go forever and on, but I will leave it at this. I fully believe I am living proof of a loving God. I came from darkness and despair to knowing everything around me is a work of the Lord, to knowing that each day I'm alive is a blessing, and I'm growing in grace with every step that I take with God.
All right. Amen. Appreciate that testimony. Again, it's my privilege as pastor of this local church and as your brother in Christ to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Good evening. My name is Aleel Tanguli. I was raised by my parents who, despite having their faults, loved and served the Lord. I was brought along to almost all the services at this church. Growing up, I rested on the idea that because my parents were saved, I already had the assurance that I would go to heaven. I used to witness to my unsaved peers in elementary school. I even took pride in calling myself a Christian at times. Even though I labeled myself as a Christian, I followed my classmates' worldly culture and doctrine. On a few instances, I insincerely prayed to the Lord to save me from my sins. And no matter how many times I pleaded for salvation, I never truly felt like a child of God. Then, the pandemic hit in 2020. As a result of the implementation of lockdown procedures, we were stuck in our homes. We had to watch church services on streaming devices. As revival meetings neared, I became more excited. However, I did not feel any spiritual conviction during revival. But on the last day, October 16th of 2020, Brother Pelletier preached about hell and the tribulation. My soul was filled with dread after the service. That night, while sitting on my couch in the living room, I genuinely prayed to Jesus to save me from my sins, and that I will turn from my wicked ways and place my faith in Him as my Lord and Savior. After a year since my salvation, I started getting doubts. I once again called on Jesus to save me again, but He has revealed that I had completely accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, and that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I couldn't put into words how I felt at the moment. It felt like pure happiness, joy, and peace. As I've continued to attend church services and other special events, I've grown in my faith and relationship with God. I'm delighted to tell you that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I plan to remain a follower of Him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that testimony. Praise the Lord. He's trusted Christ as Savior. Again, as the pastor of this local assembly and as your brother in Christ, it's my privilege to follow the Lord's commands to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Good evening. I am Sean Goble. My family has been coming to IBC since February of 2013. I was 2.5 years old at the time. Since then, I have attended Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, Junior Church, C310, and recently, SURF. I have heard a lot about Jesus Christ, and I'll be saved by admitting I am a sinner and asking Jesus Christ for forgiveness and to be my Savior. On March 6, 2017, I believe it was after a service, but I don't remember what the service was about. When I was almost 7 years old, I spoke to my dad about salvation, and we prayed together before I left for school. Since then, I always feel convicted whenever I sin.
All right, amen. Thank you that Sean has trusted Christ as Savior, taking this next step in believer's baptism. And as your pastor of this church and brother in Christ, it's my privilege to obey the Lord and what He commanded, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Good evening. I'm Andrew Stewart, and I live in Shikshinny.
Step up here just a little bit. Get a little closer.
There we go. That's better. I've grown up in a Christian home, and I always thought that I was saved. Last spring, I could feel that something was different. I had been reading lots of missionary books, and God was speaking to me through them. But I didn't know then that it was Him, so I didn't respond right away. On May 29th, Mr. Kohlmeyer preached about a boy who had made a boat but had lost it in a stream. A toy shop owner had found it and put it with his toys. The boy found it there, but the shop's owner told him that he had to pay $50 to get it back. The boy worked until he had that amount and bought it back. On his way home, the boy whispered, "Now you are twice mine." I really heard God speak to me in the message. Finally, his voice got so powerful that I knew it was him. That whole week, I kept saying to myself, tomorrow is the day, until it was Sunday again. Then, on June 5th, we listened to Pastor Boyer's message from our home. He spoke about Cornelius from the Bible. I teared up every time he talked about salvation. My parents noticed, and after the service, I went over to talk with them. My mom showed me more verses on salvation. She asked me to read them out loud with my name added in the verses. She also shared her testimony with me. After that, I prayed to Jesus, asked Him for forgiveness and to save me, and He did. Now, I want to be obedient and do things for God's glory. I would also like to share my salvation passage with you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight.
Amen. Glad to hear your testimony. It's my privilege again as pastor of this local assembly and brother in Christ to baptize you at the Lord's command in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I appreciate all five of their testimonies. Again, they'll slip in, if not already, in the back of the service. And then after the service, we'll have them come to the front. You can, I hope, encourage them in the Lord. The Lord use their testimony and overcome a little bit of nervousness to share that. And you'll be praying for them. We're grateful for each of them. We're thankful that the Lord is the one who saves. And as our old pastor used to say, there's room for more. All right, plenty of room for more. So if you're here tonight, maybe you've been saved but never baptized. Maybe the Lord would challenge you and encourage you to take that next step in identifying with the Lord. All right, I think at this time we're going to have another hymn. And after that, the offering. And then some special music before the message.
91, I am resolved to follow the Savior.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charm by the world's delights. These that are higher, these that are nobler, these have adorned my sight.
Sing a song for you. It's called Where is a Gideon? And although I'm no Gideon, I would like to be. Nope. I got to stall for more time. So I got 5 sheets of music to set up. This is a day when idols are worshipped. Even God's people are trapped in their snares. Good men have fallen, standards are shaken. Where is the answer? Who even cares? Where is a Gideon?
Where is a man who'll be a leader and follow God's plan? Where is God's champion who'll be the one to stand like Gideon? I'll be that man. Where is the man who gives up ambition? Worldly desires are all set aside. Where is the man, though lonely be service, satisfied only in him to abide? Where is a Gideon? Where is a man who'll be a leader and follow God's plan? Where is God's champion who'll be the one to stand like Gideon? I'll be that man.
All right. Again, thank you for being here tonight, and it's an honor to have you here if you're visiting as a guest. And one of these that were baptized tonight, perhaps family or a friend. I know that means a lot to them, and we hope to get to know you a little bit after the service. We won't go long tonight, but we are going to dismiss it this time. Is my wife in here? Okay, she's not in her normal spot, though. We do dismiss our little ones here, little Tykes for Truth, which would be second grade. Am I right on that? First or second? First. All right, first grade and under. They can be dismissed at this time for their children's class. Let them slip on out here, any of the workers that are helping with that tonight. And again, if you're visiting, you have a little one, I understand they may not know anybody, so you're welcome to keep in here, take them there. We do have a nursery as well, three and under if needed. Let me encourage you to pull out a Bible tonight. Now, we do have pew Bibles here. If you came and didn't have one, there should be a dark navy pew Bible. You're welcome to borrow one of those. And we're just going to look primarily at one book tonight, just a few verses, and that's the fifth book of the New Testament. The fifth book of the New Testament, that is the book of Acts. The book of Acts, just for a few moments, like to do this oftentimes when we baptize. And I praise the Lord that we've been able to have one to two to three baptisms each year. When I say baptisms, I don't mean individuals, but more of an evening where we do that. And that's a blessing. None of the folks that are baptized tonight were coerced, and no one was forced to be baptized. There's no special thing. They, on their own with their family, wanted to take that next step. They went through a class of a couple weeks just to be able to answer any questions, go through a booklet, explain baptism. It's always an option. No one has to be baptized. We let them know what the Bible says, what we believe the Lord would have, and then obviously they need to make that decision, or with their family, of taking that next step, and I'm thankful that they have. And again, baptism is an outward, visible, public identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Lord Jesus Christ has done inwardly is now being publicly identified with those that are out here. You're witnesses of that. And there's nothing special. There's no special little thing that happened. No magical thing that now is going to help them in their spiritual life, other than the fact that they took a step of obedience. And anytime we obey the Lord, there should be joy. There should be excitement. It should push us, if it would be, forward in our walk with the Lord. But the baptism's not a plateau. You know, some people get saved and then they plateau and that's it. Some people then get baptized, and then they sort of plateau, and then that's it. And then some people join a church, and then they plateau, or you can different levels. They're really, as a believer, you should never stop growing. We always have room to grow. So tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to challenge you on this topic. This would be the title if you take notes. What's your next step?
What's your next step? Now, again, I'm just speaking generally. We have visitors here. I don't know any, most of you personally. I have no idea if you know Christ as Savior. I have no idea if you have been baptized, if you know the Lord. I have no idea if you go to a church and all that's between you and the Lord, obviously. But for those that are here at IBC on a regular basis, I have a little bit more knowledge. But we understand that Jesus Christ, as we've looked at this, and many churches did with Easter, Resurrection Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He rose from the dead, He was on earth 40 days. He then ascended to heaven, sent down the Holy Spirit to indwell believers. His final words in pretty much each of the Gospels in the book of Acts was to share the gospel, was to proclaim the gospel, was to be bearers of the good news. Christ is dead, buried, and risen again. Salvation for all people through Jesus Christ. Our sins forgiven through Jesus Christ when we received Him by faith. Christ finished it on the cross, and we're to broadcast that. We're to herald that. We're to proclaim that to every corner and to every people on earth. And we know that He said in Matthew 26, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Notice, though, it doesn't stop there. Teaching them, that means the area of discipleship. It means that you don't just, okay, I'm baptized, I'm good to go now. No, there needs to be spiritual growth, whether through attending the church, attending classes, one-on-one discipleship, a small Bible study, where you're continuing to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. How does the Lord, what is prayer? What is confession of sin? What is the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to witness? So why do I need to go to church? What's sin? What's wrought sin? How do I know what's right, what's wrong? How do I know what God's will for my life is? Lots of questions that the Bible has the answer, but you can't pull it all in at once. And so there's that teaching them to observe all things. Obviously, mom and dad, that's your role. For those that have parents in the home, that's your role to do that as a husband and wife, mom and dad, to teach them that. But not everybody has parents in their home or a single family or even saved parents. And so some of that falls on certainly us as a church, and believers, to be able to do that. And so that's a great privilege as a church to share the gospel, to see folks saved, to take that next step, as we saw tonight, of I'm going to follow the Lord in what's called believer's baptism. It's after salvation. It's nothing to do with taking my sins away. All right? If it does, think of those in the Scripture. We'll look at a few tonight here, but think of the thief on the cross and those that were never baptized. Again, salvation is through Jesus Christ, and what He did on Calvary was sufficient. All right? But in Acts chapter 2, I don't think I told you a chapter. Acts chapter 2, just for, tonight we'll go for maybe 15, 20 minutes here. Let the folks come on up here. You get to have a good time of rejoicing with them and encouraging them and fellowship with them, and then we'll let you fellowship, I hope, as long as you'd like before you slip out here tonight. But Acts chapter 2, these are key verses. You're familiar, many of you here, certainly at our church, and probably many of you, if not all of you. But this would be where we get our doctrine. This is where we get our beliefs. We get it from the Word of God. All right? In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, verse 41, then they, notice the order, please, that the Holy Spirit has put in the Scriptures, then they that gladly received His word. You could go back on your own and read previous verses that the Word of God was proclaimed, the gospel was preached, there was explanation. Verse 40 tells us that. They that gladly received His word, they received Christ as Savior. They believed on Christ. Notice they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them, that would be the church, about 3,000 souls. And they continued. Notice that wasn't just it. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, what was that doctrine? That was the doctrine and teachings that Jesus taught them, that they were then to teach others. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So you'll notice, what's the biblical order of what we would call our walk with Christ? Salvation. Number one, most important decision, salvation. There's a lot of folks who do everything else I'm about to mention and have never been saved. They do everything else that comes after salvation, but they're missing the main thing, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. After salvation, the Bible pattern is always baptism. Baptism, which is always in the Scriptures here. You'll never see infants baptized. You'll never see really what we would say unbelievers, all right? You'll never see someone just baptized as a step of salvation. It's always after one has been saved, and it's always by going under, the word submerge or immerse, going underneath, identifying with what Christ did on the cross. Then it would be what we would say discipleship, or being taught, being one-on-one, or a Bible study to answer those questions, to grow in the Lord, whether through the church, or through a parent, or through an older Christian that can meet with you, answer questions, make sure you're beginning to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then would be what we would say would be part of a church. a local church, a local assembly that you joined as part of. Part of that thing, to worship the Lord, to grow, and then to serve the Lord, not just to be a member that sits there, all right, but then to serve actively if you're able and health allows you to do so. To serve, to be using your gifts and things for the Lord. And really, there's a final step here, which a lot of people go to church faithfully. Scripture says that we ought to then be teaching others also. So as we mature in Christ, even if you've been going to church 56 years, that's great. Teach a Sunday school class, work in the nursery, in the choir, all those are great. But the Bible says there should be a point where we then, the knowledge of Scripture, the things we've learned about the Lord, the trials we've gone through, the things that God has showed us, we should then be teaching others also, whether younger or new believers, and passing on the knowledge of God and things that God has taught us so that, you know what, when our life ceases and God takes us home, and then that next generation then steps in that place. That's what God's plan is for the church, all right? And a lot of churches today are closing. A lot of churches today are merging. A lot of churches are being sold. A lot of churches are full only of older saints who love the Lord. Not here to condemn or say why or what or not. I have no idea. But God's pattern is for believers to reproduce. We are to reproduce. We are to bear fruit. We are to share Christ. We are to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ and witness. And so you'll see that all through the Scriptures. Let's take a quick journey here just in four or five passages in the book of Acts. And I love the book of Acts. It's the early church. It's that first century church. It's what God's plan is. Lots of great things. Go over a little bit to your right. Acts chapter 8. Now I'm going to go fast. You can mark these down. You can go back on your own and study if I'm going a little too quick tonight. But let's just look at four or five verses that I'm not the one making this up. And that's not just this local church. All right, I've only been here, my wife and I, family, 2.5 years. So I'm sure we could ask the Cremards. I'm sure we could ask some of you who've been part of this church for a long, long time. What does the community think of IBC? You know, what are the different opinions of people here? You know, they might say, well, I'll tell you, you better stay away from that church. Someone was telling me just the other day that they were trying to invite somebody here. I don't know that it wasn't somebody as part of Duryea, but they were somebody connected with someone. They said, oh, you don't want to go there. That church is just full of winos and drug people and blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, okay, all right. Well, there certainly may have been people in that and they've been saved out of that. Well, you know, a different thing. Oh, maybe they say that's a bunch of self-righteous people, or that's a cult. I don't know what goes on over there. They even meet on Sunday nights, all right. What in the world? They got cars around? What's going on, all right? And, you know, who knows? I don't really know. And, you know, I guess that's not really something that's important necessarily, though we should have a good testimony. But the Bible talks about what a church is, what a church ought to be. And as a church, we ought to match up with the Scriptures as best we can, if not exactly as it is. Notice Acts 8:12. Notice again the order. The Holy Spirit is very careful here. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Again, you notice the order there. They believed, they trusted, they received Christ. Then they were baptized, identifying with Jesus Christ. Go to chapter number 9. Very famous chapter here. Saul, better known as Paul, that great persecutor of the church, headed to Damascus to what? To arrest believers who were part of what? The church. And he's got letters that give him authority. I'm going to go up to Damascus because now there's a church forming up here of believers, followers of Christ. And I believe Christ is a fake and a fraud. And I'm going to arrest these people and put them in prison. He's on the way, right? And he has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. We'll not take a look at all of that there, that bright light. The Lord reveals himself. Verse number 5, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. All right, but we often know that story, but sometimes we only read a little bit of it. So then what happens? Remember, he's blinded. He is blind. He cannot see. He is led in like a blind man into the city, and he's in a house, and he's in a room for 3 days and 3 nights. Blind, not eating anything. And then the Lord, the Holy Spirit, goes to a believer in the city named Ananias. Love the story. Been very interesting to meet Ananias. And the Lord comes to this believer, Ananias, pick it up in verse number 10. And there was a certain disciple, that just means a follower of Jesus, named Ananias, who was in Damascus. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And a scene in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So basically what's the Lord saying? Ananias, I want you to go down the street to this house, number 328 Straight Street. Go in the building. There's Saul of Tarsus. We all know who he is. He's praying. He's received me as Savior. He's a changed man. I want you to go in there, and I want you. And he gives him command. Of course, Ananias does what most of us would do. He says, Lord, I've heard of him. Are you sure? Are you sure this is the right fella? How do we know this isn't a trap? This man is crafty. This man is subtle. I don't know if I believe that he is a believer. He's done a lot of things there. It says in verse 14, I know why he's even come here to the city. And the Lord says, verse 15, go thy way. He, Paul, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and before kings, I'm putting in the word before, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. No, Paul is one of mine now. And he is going to suffer great things, though, for the cause of Christ. I want you to go in there, and I want you to greet him. And Ananias obeys. Look at verse 17. Ananias went his way. Boy, that must have been, you're talking about our baptism, folks, hearts pounding. Boom, 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 boom. I don't know about this, Lord. If he gets up and I get captured, I could be killed. But notice Ananias, in faith, verse 17, went his way, entered into the house. That'd be a good drama. I've never seen this dramatized. All right? Walking in. Oh, my goodness. And notice what he said, brother Saul. Wow, you're my brother in Christ. By the way, had he been baptized yet? Not yet, all right? He is saved. He's one of his. You're my brother in Christ. You're one of the Lord's. Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. Please notice this. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was? And was what? Baptized. Now notice the next verse because this is shocking. And when he would receive meat, he was strengthened. Now he hadn't eaten in 3 days. But the first thing he did was follow the Lord and believe his baptism. Man, interesting. He was baptized and then I'm hungry. The opposite of most of us men, all right? I'm starving. Give me some food, all right? Noted. Now, how did he even know about all this, being baptized, all right? Obviously, he heard teaching, he heard preaching the early church that he was persecuting. Obviously, in those 3 days, as a brilliant Jew and Pharisee, going through the scriptures of things he'd seen and heard, wow, as soon as he received his sight, I am publicly identifying with Jesus Christ and being baptized. Now, I'm going to eat a little bit and get some strength, and then look what happens at the end, verse 19. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. You know what that means? He was part of a local church. The very same people that came to arrest. Can you imagine that service? It's great to have some visit. Whoa! Great to have Saul of Tarsus. You think heads would be turning. All right. Let's greet one another in the Lord, everybody. How do you know some of those very same people? Paul had not arrested some of their own family that had gone to Damascus. Maybe had some of their own people put in jail and even killed. Well, that would be pretty tough. Boy, he's joining himself with followers. In fact, we're not done with Saul. Look at verse 20. And straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues. Now, I know he was an adult. He had a background, certainly, in the scriptures as a religious Jew. But I'm telling you, this guy, we know what he did, right? He was on fire for God. God used him in a great way. He suffered. But I want you to see the order there. He was baptized, received food, part of the church, joined with him, serving the Lord as actively as he could at that point in the stage in his life, all right? Let's go to two or three more verses, chapter 16, chapter 16, you're just turning a little bit to your right here. What does the Bible say? What would the Lord have you to do? Here's the question tonight. What's your next step? What's your next step? I don't know what it may be. It could be you're here tonight, you're watching. Your next step, your first step, the most important step is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may know the stories, you may know the verses, but you've never received Christ and been saved from your sins. That's the most important step. However, many of you, if not most of you, have done that. Maybe the next step is to follow the Lord as you saw tonight in believer's baptism, whether young or old. Saw a picture the other day, it was great. I don't get on social media a whole lot, but I do enjoy it as a service. I don't remember who it was. Might have been a friend or somebody we knew from college years ago that's a pastor, baptizing a 95-year-old lady. Now, you're talking about glory. That's pretty rare, all right? Now, well, I don't know the story if she was saved just recently or maybe she'd been saved for years and just a lot of people afraid of water, afraid of those kind of things. But I'll tell you what, 95, she said, I'm going to get baptized, all right? And she was pretty frail, too, and they had to have some people helping her, all right? And I'm not saying that that's what everybody's got to do, but, hey, she said, this is what I've got to do. Saw another picture. Some of you saw this making the rounds. This was about a year ago. And it was like December of 1895. Some of you may have seen this picture people were putting on there. It was like December 1895, and there was a young lady getting baptized outside in a pond where they had to break the ice. And somebody was comparing, saying, well, compared to today, all right? They were like, my goodness, there are all these people standing around their church clothes, and it's like, poof. I don't believe it was Photoshopped, all right? I know sometimes you can't believe everything's on there. And I didn't follow my sources, but it was like, whoa, now that's pretty, hey, I'm going to be baptized right now on whatever the Lord wants me to do. Wow. And I'm not saying everybody has to do that, but I'm here to say, wow, that's pretty important, all right? It's not salvation. All right, but it's very important to identify with the Lord, and you're seeing that all through the Scriptures. Chapter 16, look at verses 13 through 15. We're in Acts 16, 13 through 15. Now that Saul, who's now Paul, and now he had been baptized, now he's a missionary and a preacher, and now they come to a city named Philippi, verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. So people that were religious would go out there to pray. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted. So a group of ladies out there praying. And a certain woman, verse 14, named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, so she was a religious woman, but we don't believe she was saved, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which are spoken of Paul. So basically, as far as we can tell here, some very religious ladies, they were praying, we don't know who they were praying to, God's. Paul and them went out there, preached, and introduced Jesus Christ. Lydia's heart was open. It was tender. She received and believed the word of God. Notice verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household. All right, wow. Now again, you say, well, I think it'd be pretty clear. We'll see this from another verse here. It doesn't just mean that they all just got baptized and followed her. So likely then that she shared the gospel or had Paul and them into her house, shared the gospel, and that her household hearing the gospel, whether that's servants, whether she was pretty wealthy, they also received Christ, and there was many of them following the Lord and believers' baptism. Later in the chapter 16, take a look at verse 30. Remember, Paul and Silas were put in jail in this city. They were falsely accused. They were beaten. They were put in stocks. The Lord sent an earthquake. They were miraculously released, if you would. The jailer comes in. He's about to kill himself and commit suicide because the prisoner's getting free. But no one runs away. And look what he says, verse 30, chapter 16. And he, that's the jailer, brought them out. That's Paul and Silas. And said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now notice what they didn't say. Baptism. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now again, some people take that verse out of context. We'll talk about where it says thy house. Doesn't mean because dad gets saved, everybody in the home is saved. But notice the next verse. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. This, I know we read the Bible and sometimes it's like, well, they probably just gave him a little quick thing. No, I think this was lengthy. I believe they fully explained the Scriptures. They shared the gospel. They answered questions. He had his servants and workers listening. They saw this man was greatly changed. He received Christ, it says, verse 33, he took them the same hour, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. I believe that means each person individually trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. They heard the gospel, and they had a large battle where they were baptized at. All right? They were baptized. Now, that doesn't mean everybody needs to be baptized immediately. All right? I believe there was lengthy teaching here, lengthy what we would call discipleship, almost like having their own class, answering the questions. But notice what was the message of the early church? Salvation, then baptism. I don't see anybody leaving that out. That's what Jesus said that they were supposed to do. They were teaching this. Christ commanded it. It was the message of the early church. Christ is risen, the crucified, risen Lord. And now here's what's next and why this is important. And you see that all through the book of Acts. We'll look at one more and be done. Look at chapter 18, probably one you're not as familiar with. Chapter 18, verse number 8. Chapter 18, verse number 8. Probably if you said this person's name, most would not know who this is. Chapter 18, verse 8. And Crispus. You know who Crispus is? Most kids would snicker at that one. It's Crispus. the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed. Notice the order. You see again and again the order in the Bible. Believed and were baptized. Believed and were baptized. Now, Pastor Boyer is not up here harping on that so we can get a bunch of big numbers. Look how many we've been baptizing. Now, I'm not interested really. I'm just interested in people saying, hey, this is what the Lord commands. If you'd like to do it, that'd be awesome. Let's take that next step. It could be that you're here tonight. I have no idea. I really don't. I don't know who's been baptized. If you're a member of this church, you have been, because to be a member here, you need to be saved and baptized. All right? So if you're a member here, I wasn't here for it, but at some point you were baptized, shared your testimony. Those have done that since I've been here, but I don't know about everybody else in your church or if you attend church, but that's what the Lord would have you do. Publicly identify with Jesus Christ. Let people know that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not ashamed. Identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and take that next step of obedience. But then again, don't just plateau there. You need to grow in the Lord. You need to be part of a church. You need to be under teaching and preaching. You need to be part of a church and be under a shepherd and spiritual leaders. You need to get involved. You need to know what your gifts are. You need to be using those gifts. We've looked at that. You need to say, God, how can I serve and how can I minister and how can I glorify you and how do you want me to use what you've given me? And that's important. So I just ask you tonight, what is your perhaps next step? Now, don't answer out loud. What's the next step the Lord would... Now, I know you might say, hey, done that. I'm good to go. All right? I've been saved. I'm baptized. I'm in a good church. We're part of it. We attend faithfully. I'm involved in this. That is great. Praise the Lord. But don't let that stop. How about that next step, especially if you're a little bit older? Older women teach the younger women. Older men teach the younger men. Older men teach faithful men, 2 Timothy says, that you can teach men that they will then teach others, that next generation, discipleship. How about taking the next step, some of you, of sharing your testimony in a service like this, but never sharing your testimony with others outside of the church building, because that can be a little more intimidating. You know, with family, with friends, with neighbors, co-workers, like, well, I don't know about that. Maybe that's the next step. Opening your mouth, asking the Lord to help you, saying, could I just tell you the greatest thing that's ever happened to me? Just simply share Jesus Christ and what he's done for me and trust the Lord. Maybe it's passing some tracts out. Maybe it's getting a little courage up there. I don't know what the next step is, but you know what? You probably know, and if you don't know, pray. Say, Lord, I think right now I'm on fire. I think I'm where I need to be, and I'm involved. Praise the Lord for that. But Lord, what is the next step you would have me take if there's one? Maybe it's some of you, as we've been talking about here. Maybe it's God's been calling you to a ministry. You need to surrender to it. Maybe God's been calling some men, young men, older men, to go into the ministry. That's scary. I mean, I'm established. I'm about to retire. I've got to... Maybe the Lord would have you be part of Bearing Precious Seed, Seed Line Ministry, representative for a mission board. You know, there's a lot of ministries out there. A lot of ways that you can serve. You can. I know people that are retired that they've gone on and they're maintenance people at a local mission board or a college or a place like that. Or college is looking for people to teach and to help and to serve. I mean, Christian, they got ministry. There's ministries for people. I'm not saying that's what the Lord has for you. I'm not saying, say, Pastor, you better stop. Everybody's going to leave. Then we'll have no church. Aren't you glad? I'm not in charge of building the church. The Lord is. It's my church and I'll build it, he said. He said, I'll build my church. So I'm not responding. I mean, I want to do my part, but I'm not scared of that. You know what, Lord? Amen. Let's plant some other churches here. Let's do some stuff for the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Let's do it. All right? But what's the next step the Lord would have you do? Why don't you think about it? Why don't you meditate on it? Why don't you pray about it? Why don't you search the Scriptures? Why don't you make that a matter of prayer? Because Scripture says to continue growing in grace, to continue to desire to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes. And since none of us know when He's coming, then you and I need to always continually grow and take that next step. Again, we're thrilled to death of the five tonight that follow the Lord and believers' baptism. You're not any lesser tonight if you're saved and have never been baptized. They've never been baptized. You need to sit in the back corner. That's for non-baptized people. You know, we don't fellowship with you. No. But I'm not going to shy away from preaching the whole counsel of the Scriptures. And very clearly, this is what the Bible teaches. And we certainly want to encourage you to follow the Lord if that's what your next step needs to be. in believer's baptism. How do you do that? You see myself, you see my wife, you see one of the deacons, deaconesses, and say, I really like to do this. What's the next step? And the next time we get a class together, we say, let's do it again. All right, amen. And so there's a lot of things we can help you with. Huh? We have in our track rack, we have a nice pamphlet that describes baptism. If you have any questions, we can get you a booklet. We can answer your questions here or your local church, I'm sure, and your pastor as well. And so again, let me encourage you to take that next step and don't delay. Heed the Lord. If he's working in your heart, obey him, trust him, and he will certainly guide you.